Hey, this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. So you're going through some social distancing, some isolating. Yeah, because we're trying to save lives. So we have to get alone. But it creates in us this longing, this desire to be with other people. And that's natural. That's normal. That's the way God has wired us. Paul had the same thing. Paul longed to be with his Roman brothers and sisters. How did he deal with this? We've been studying this book of Romans. We started it a few weeks ago, and this will be our sixth week. We're in Romans chapter 1, and you can follow along. I hope you'll be following along this morning with me. We've put all of our notes, my notes, in the live event on the Bible app. I hope that you're using the Bible app because you can just stay right with us. If you have an account, you can. It's free and you can save your notes because we can't hand you a sheet of paper to write down things, but you can save all of your notes in the Bible app and you can always go back and refer to them later on. Very, very helpful tool. And don't forget, my wife is on the computer down here right now, and she's monitoring the comments, the prayer requests, and she's going to be on that and making sure that we're engaging with you and talking to you and praying for you. Already, we've got people commenting and saying that prayer for healing and well-being of us all, and obviously for this whole coronavirus situation. Pray for our president and family. Even with the good he's doing, he's still being attacked and ridiculed. So before I get started in this Roman study, I'd just like to pray for these particular prayer requests right now. So let's pray together. Lord, this is a difficult time in our nation. And Father, we are just watching all of this unfold, and it's gripping our land, our world right now. And Lord, we feel so out of control. We feel so helpless. We feel like we can't do anything about it. So Lord, we ask you to divinely do something supernatural in our world. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would stop this spread of this virus. Father, that you would just end it, make it over. And Lord, we've watched in history, we can see time and again how part of your plan has included plagues like this. And so, Father, we know that this may just be part of your plan. So, Father, I pray for our healthcare system. I pray for doctors and nurses. I pray for supplies. I pray that civilians would quit walking into hospitals and stealing masks and gloves, Father, but that they would be put to good use to care for patients, that they would protect patients and nurses and other technicians and doctors and everyone. Father, I pray that you give wisdom and guidance, give strength and ability, create capacity, Lord, where there currently is none. Father, I pray for our leaders right now that they would supernaturally know what to do, that they would take appropriate, good, proactive steps. Lord, I pray for our president, our vice president. I pray for our coronavirus task force. I pray for our governors, our mayors. Lord, I just pray for all of the authority over us that, Lord, you would just move in them and through them. In this time, Father, speak now as we study your word. Father, we long to hear from you. We need to hear from you now more than ever. So, Father, I pray that you would just speak, Father, this morning through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, if you got your Bible app, just kind of jump in there with me. If you've got a paper Bible, open it to Romans chapter 1. And before we really get good and started there, I just want to say that I miss you. I miss you. I mean that. I miss you. Sherry and I, my wife and I, we've been doing the best we can to kind of limit our interactions with other people. It's not a perfect system, but we've been doing the best we can. Both of us are working now from home all the time. We have our little offices set up there, and we're spending a lot of time there at the house. We're not walking through stores if we don't have to. We're like getting groceries through the pickup at Walmart, and we're just doing the best we can to limit. You know, we've got very close to us relatives who are high risk, and we don't want to pick up something and pass it on to them. So we are just doing our part. We're trying to do our part to protect our family and to flatten that curve. So we're kind of staying in the house a lot alone. And so I miss you. I don't get the interaction that I normally do. I don't get to be with my brothers and my sisters, my friends in Christ. And I miss you. It's kind of creating this longing in me. Is it doing that in you? Are you having the same thing? Let me know in the comments. Are you alone at home? I asked this question earlier on my earlier Facebook Live that I did about an hour or so ago. And I just asked people, hey, what's going on? How are you feeling? And I got a lot of comments on there. Feeling lonely, missing my brothers and sisters, missing hugs, missing relationships, missing fellowships. I've gotten a lot of that from you guys. And I've heard how you are feeling. You're feeling a lot like me, lonely and isolated. And nobody wants to be this way. This is hard. It may get harder. And fortunately, we can look to God's word and we can see that the Apostle Paul was dealing with a longing to be with people he loved as well. He was far from this church at Rome. Paul is writing this letter not in Rome, but to Rome, and he's writing it from a city called Corinth. And he's far away from Rome, and you know, he doesn't have Facebook. He doesn't have email. He doesn't have a text messaging machine. You know, he doesn't have any of that stuff. He's far away from the ones he loves, and he just longs to be with them. He just wants to be near them. He wants to encourage them and be encouraged, but he can't right now. And that's why, part of why he writes this letter. In fact, here's what he says about it in Romans 1:10. He says, "One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. For I long to visit you." Do you hear that longing? He longs to visit this church in Rome. And he says, "This far I've been prevented, but I long to visit you in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles." Yeah, Paul is saying, I'm lacking something. I'm missing something. I want to be connected, but I'm not as connected as I'd like to be. What this is telling me is, you know, I'm not the body of Christ. I'm just a member of the body of Christ. I'm not the body. I'm just a part of the body. You know, in Scripture, it talks about how you and I are like members. We're like eyes or noses or ears or fingers. You know, we're all individual parts of the body. And isolated, our parts don't work very well. You know, Scripture talks about you cut one of your body parts off, how long is it going to live? How good is it going to be? It's not. It's not. And so we are all longing for this because that's the way God wired us. He wired us to be people who are connected. In fact, the first blank, if you're following along, is that we are made for connection. We're made for connection. God wants us to long for these connections. That's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. It shows that you are who God is making you to become. So if you're feeling that loneliness, if you're feeling that isolation, and you're missing something, that's kind of a good sign. And I'm really happy. I'm really proud of you for that. But Paul says he longs to be with this church so that he may reap some harvest among you. That's what he says, so that he may reap some harvest among you. That's a kind of a weird phrase, isn't it? Reap some harvest. He wants to see something happen. He wants there to be produce from his connection with this church at Rome. Yeah, he's saying, I'm part of the body, and so I want to be able to contribute to the health of the body. I want to be able to contribute to the purpose of the body. I'm a part of the body, so I want to affect what the body is and does. When I'm cut off from the body, I can't survive. We recognize that in this difficult time as all of us are experiencing some isolation. In fact, we saw this coming a little bit, and that's why we've taken some proactive steps as a church to really kind of get a little ahead of this and to provide some little means of connection. You know, for example, that's why Sherry and I have been doing the COVID coffee with Sherry and Steve at 9 a.m. in the mornings on Facebook. It's just a 20-minute little, let's sit down and have coffee together. And we talk and we laugh. And sometimes it's about nothing. We always do the verse of the day. And sometimes it's a little, it's just a little bit of a bright good news in your life. And we just want that to provide some means of connection. It's also why we've returned to doing the 7 minutes of prayer in the evenings, trying to do that a couple of times a week. I've really only got two evenings where I'm not doing something at 7 p.m., and that's Monday and Wednesday. So on Mondays and Wednesdays, we'll be doing the 7 minutes of prayer at 7 p.m. right here on Facebook, and it's really a powerful thing. It's just an opportunity to engage, to interact, to have some content, and to pray together. This is what Paul would want us to do, right? Paul says that I long to be with you so I can have some harvest, so I can contribute, so I can help you. In other words, this is what I think you and I should learn from Paul here. It's the next blank if you're following along. It's this: all my connections have purpose. All my connections have purpose. Each relationship that God has allowed me to have has a purpose. It's not about what you can get out of those relationships. It's about what you can give in those relationships. It's not about how they make you feel. It's about how you are contributing into the lives of others and into the purpose of the body of Christ, right? It's all about you laying down your life so that others can live. Isn't that what Jesus is all about? Isn't that what his life was all about? I mean, he walked away from his throne in heaven to come live in the dirt for 33 years, and to love us, to serve us, to teach us about the kingdom of God. And he says to us, he says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to do this, you got to give up your own way. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He says, if you want to be like me, you'll serve other people. If you want to be served, you got to serve. If you want to go to the top, you got to go to the bottom. Jesus is always talking about this. It's not about what I can get. It's about who I can give to, right? Howard Hendricks, a seminary professor, he would say, it's not my responsibility to fill your cup, but it is my responsibility to empty mine. So I think that's great advice for us to take, that we should always be looking of how we can be emptying our cups, how we can be connected to others. Sure, right now it's hard. It's really, really hard. But what can we do? How could we have connections with purpose to other people? That's one of the reasons that we have, again, tried to get a little proactive about this and be on it. And we've put all of our life groups online also. Yeah, we made sure we set up all of our life group leaders with Zoom video conferencing so they can meet together with their life groups digitally. And yeah, it looks a little weird. Thank you, Joyce. It does not look like life groups normally look. This is not actually my life group. This is my Easter planning team. See, there's me and there's Jeff and Larry and there's Betsy Coben and there's Diane and Jenny, who is in the room today. Jenny there. And what's the deal, Bill Heslip? I told everybody to smile because I was taking a picture. What are you doing there, Bill? Why don't you smile for me sometime? So anyway, it looks a little weird, but I've gotten some great, great response on this. In fact, Nancy Heslip just posted a comment on our page the other day, and here's what she said. She said, I just got off Zoom with a group of ladies, mainly from our life group, for a Saturday afternoon meeting. So not a regular life group meeting, but just a group of ladies from the life group getting together. And she said, what a great way to connect with each other. Thanks to the Orchard peeps for helping us continue to meet during this time. So digital meetings, they're not perfect. They're not the best. I don't love them more than in-person meetings. But dude, it's at least a meeting. Dude, at least you're getting with people. I say get with people. Thanks, Nancy Heslip, for that great comment. You smile a lot better than Bill, your husband, does. So we're grateful. We're grateful for these tools, and we're doing this. Hey, if you aren't in a life group, we love to get you into one, meeting with a group via Zoom right now. It's really pretty easy to do. You just go to the Orchard Life. That's our kind of inside secret website. Not a big secret. I'm streaming it live on the internet. But that's our website. Go to theorchard.life and just scroll down to the Find a Life Group tab. When you tap there, you'll be able to see the list of life groups that we currently have. And you can tap on one of those and you can email them and let them know, hey, I'd like to be in on your life group. And if you aren't sure which one you'd like, dude, just email me and let me know. I'm at stevedusek@orchardlj.com, stevedusek@orchardlj. Just email me and I'll help you find one because we want you, just like Paul would want you, to be connected with a purpose in this difficult time right now. It's a big deal to Paul. I believe it's a big deal to God. Ought to be a big deal to us as well. So we do this on purpose. We do it so that we can contribute to the purpose of Christ in people's lives. And the result is some harvest, right? That's what Paul's looking for. I want to be connected to you so that I can see some harvest. I can see some produce come from this. You know what that is, right? I mean, it's no secret. Galatians tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He says there's no law against these things. This is what he's looking for. When you and I are developing relationships, developing connections, I believe even digitally, our relationships should produce these things. Don't we need joy right now in our world? Don't we need peace? Don't we need patience right now in our disconnected world, our isolated world? And our connections will help cultivate those in our lives and in other people's lives. Paul really felt this sense of urgency, this longing to be with his people, just like you and I do now. And he felt this longing for a reason. There was a reason he felt this longing. And he tells us what it is in the next sentence. In verse 14, Romans 1:14, he says, I'm feeling this because I'm under obligation both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Now, look at this. Look at this really quickly. He says, I'm under obligation. I thought this was a strange word too, obligation, so I checked it out. This word obligation, it can mean obligation, but it means obligation in the sense of I owe a debt. Some translations actually translate it that way. I owe a debt, he's saying. I'm feeling this longing, this urge to be with others, the brothers and sisters in the body, because I owe a debt. I'm under obligation. I owe something that I need to pay back. But look at who he owes. He says, I'm under obligation. I owe a debt to Greeks and barbarians. What? Greeks and barbarians? Hold on a second. He owes a debt to Greeks and barbarians? Doesn't he owe a debt to God? This is my favorite part, so I really hope that you get this. Paul is saying that he really wants to be connected to them because he has this obligation, right? He has this debt that he owes. And it's interesting that he says he owes a debt not to God, because that debt's been fully paid, but he owes a debt to the Greeks and the barbarians, right? He owes a debt. He owes this debt to Greeks and barbarians. This obligation to them. It's not an obligation, you know, to God, but because of what God's done in his life, he now owes a debt to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. In other words, he's covering all of his bases. He's saying the sophisticated, wealthy city dweller and the single-wide, lifelong food stamp recipient. He's saying the people who love opera music and the people who love country western, right? He's saying the yuppies in the city and the rednecks out here in the country. He's saying, I owe a debt to everybody, the wise and the foolish. I owe a debt to, you know, the smart people and the people who drive slow in the passing lane. I owe a debt to all of them, to everyone. He's covering all of his bases. He's saying no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your economic status, no matter what your sexual history or your criminal record happens to say about you, Paul says that because of what Christ has done in his life, that I've got something for you. I've got something for you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. Here's the thing. This thing that Paul writes, the gospel is for you. It doesn't matter how many tattoos you have. It doesn't matter what your wardrobe looks like. It doesn't matter what your divorce history might have been. It doesn't matter your biggest mistake in your life. It doesn't matter that you declared bankruptcy. It doesn't matter that you're healthy and wealthy and well-to-do. The gospel is for everybody, including you. That's what he's saying. All these other things, all these things, our sexual history, our credit rating, our job performance, our broken relationships, our marriage status, all those things speak into our ears, don't they? They try to tell us who we are. They try to tell us how bad we are, how poor we are, how broken we are. And they're always speaking to our ears, especially in lonely, isolated times like right now. Right? It's lonely, isolated times that those whispers, those negative voices speaking into our ears, trying to tell us who we are, that's when those whispers become screams, deafening us, trying to convince us that we are not worthy, condemning us and speaking sin into our lives. Sure, you hear them, especially when you're isolated. Sure, you hear them. But you know what? Jesus doesn't hear them. Jesus can't hear those at all. He doesn't listen to those at all. Because Jesus says, you are not that. You are a child of mine. You are forgiven. You are blessed. You are a child of the King. You're royalty. You're a co-heir with Christ. So, Paul writes in Romans 8, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So you should not feel like you're trash. You should not feel like you're garbage. You should not feel like you're worthless because you have been freed from that and you've been given life in Christ. That's why in Galatians, Paul writes, there's no longer, now, no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means that those voices can't tell you who you are. Only Jesus gets to tell you who you are. Jesus has identified you and given you a new name, and he clothes you in his righteousness. He says you are made anew in his image. You hear that? You are made in his image. That means what that means is when God looks at you, if you're in Christ, he doesn't see that past. He doesn't see that brokenness. He doesn't see the sin. When he looks at you, he can see himself in you. Yeah, that's what God catches a glimpse of when he looks at you. That's what the gospel does in our lives. The gospel not only justifies us before God, but it sanctifies us. It purifies us. It cleanses us. It turns us into new creatures. That's why I say the next blank on your fill-ins is that the gospel is for everybody. It's for me. I need it today. I need it when I'm alone. I need it when it's quiet. I need it when I haven't been engaged with other people and I'm less busy. I need the gospel today, and you do too. You need that gospel to remind you that you no longer owe a debt. If you're in Christ, he's paid your debt and there's nothing left to pay. And now the only debt I owe is to other people around me. He says that the way you operate your life is you love God and you love others. Because of what he's done in me, I pass it around. I use my connections on purpose. So Paul says, as he closes this whole letter in Romans, at the end, he kind of comes back around to this whole thought, and he says, I bring you this gift that I've been working up for you, this good news, so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Paul's been given this incredible, graceful gift of the gospel in his life, of forgiveness in his life. And so he wants to pass it on. He fights to pass it on, to make sure that he uses this relationship with the church at Rome on purpose. And God's made you in his image. He's given you this gift of grace. How will you use your connections on purpose? You know, you could do a Facebook Live too every now and then. You know, maybe you got friends that just need to see your face and talk to you. Maybe you could do a FaceTime, you know, like I do with some of my family members from time to time, and you could just talk to them and pray for them online. Maybe you got some neighbors that can't get out right now. Maybe they're elderly and need some help. Maybe you could go to the store and pick up their groceries for them and bring them back. Just leave them off on the front porch and just be a blessing to them in this time. You know, maybe you could bring books for kids that need to learn to read, and you could bring some books and drop them off here at the church for childhood literacy. Kids need to learn to read. Maybe you could use these connections on purpose. That's why he gave you the grace of the gospel. Peter writes this in 1 Peter 4. He says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. God's given you this amazing, graceful gift. How will you use it? How will it multiply? And what kind of harvest could we see even in the middle of coronavirus nightmare? What kind of harvest for the kingdom could we see if we just used our gifts in some of these ways? I believe that, and this is the last blank in your fill-ins, I believe that God gave you and God gave me gifts to bring out the gifts in others. That's why he gave them to you. So, yeah, you got to be isolated. Yeah, you're going to long a little bit for others, but be like Nancy Heslip. Man, do a Zoom call with people you know. Invite folks into your life group. You probably have neighbors and friends that are also longing for some connection, and they're not in a life group. You can invite them to be in yours and be part of that ongoing community that we're able to have with a purpose for the gospel. Yeah, I believe God's put you exactly where you are so that you'll be productive to reap some kind of harvest in our world, even in this nightmare of a time. Man, that's the way I'm going to be praying for you. But maybe you're watching this and you've never given your life to Christ in the first place. So you still do owe a debt to God, a debt you can never repay and will only end in destruction for you. But Jesus loves you so much that he stepped in and he took on that debt for you, and he paid it in full by dying in your place on the cross. And he just wants you to become his. Would you surrender your life to Jesus? Would you do it right now? Would you give yourself to him? Experience his grace. Experience his power. Take on his purpose. Find meaning even in this crazy time in our nation. I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer of repentance and faith. It's a prayer of turning away from your old life and turning to trust him. And you can pray it right there in your kitchen, right there in your living room, right there wherever you are. You can pray this prayer with me. Let's bow our heads and let's pray this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. God, I've broken your heart by breaking your law. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I don't want to live that way anymore. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. God, as best as I know how, I give up. I surrender. I don't want to live my old life. I just want to be yours. So God, I know that means I need to change, but I can't. So I need you. Please come into my life. Change me. Make me new. I'm yours, Lord. From this day forward, I'm never going back. And I know I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, this is such an important thing. I didn't want to just leave it hanging. That's the end of our recording of Sunday morning. But I just want you to know that if you have prayed and asked Jesus into your life, turning from your old self and turning to trust him, I sure would like to know about it because I sure want to be praying for you. Would you let me know? Just hit me up with an email. Email me at Steve Dusek, that's Steve D-U-S-E-K, at gmail.com. SteveDusek@gmail.com. And just let me know that you prayed to receive Christ. And we can want to be praying for you and support you any way we can, especially in this difficult time. Hey, thank you for listening. I hope you'll join in with us on this live event this coming week. Hope it'll work this coming week. Just join us on Facebook at facebook.com/OrchardElijah at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Hey, we really mean this. If you want to be part of a living, breathing, loving, sharing, real life community, we've got that for you. Why don't you join one of our life groups currently meeting together via Zoom conference call. It actually is way better than it sounds. You can find out about your future life group by going to our website, theorchard.life. It's our mobile site designed to help you connect to a group and connect to community and find your purpose in Christ. Would you do that? It's theorchard.life, theorchard.life. And I hope to see you in life group soon.